You're listening to How to Win with Mike Moore, the podcast that provides you with practical insights on how to win in every arena of life.
God wants His people to prosper, and I believe that He's anointed me to help you to prosper, to go from one level to another level all year, and we're going to break poverty and lack and scarcity, unfulfilled desire over your life. It's going to take you to another level of abundance in God. Come on, take this journey with me. How to Win Our Prosperity Edition 2024.
Are you ready to break free from the chains of anxiety, stress, and depression? Mike Moore, author and founding pastor of Faith Chapel and host of the How to Win podcast, is here with his new book, Help, My Mind is Under Attack. Learn how to overcome attacks on your mind and live an emotionally healthy life. Grab your copy now, available as ebook on Amazon and paperback on MikeMoore.com. Embark on your journey to complete mental health and emotional peace.
Hello, I'm Mike Moore, and welcome to the How to Win podcast. These podcasts are based off 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. It says, now thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph in Christ. Listen, I'm so glad to have you with us today. I am in my prosperity edition of How to Win, and I'm going to begin a new series today, and it's going to be a blessing. I know you're going to be blessed by it. I'm going to begin a series entitled No Way to Win. No Way to Win. I know that you want to win in life. I know that. I don't have to take a survey. I know because God placed on the inside of every person the desire to win in life. I have a goal in this series. Normally I have a theme, but I have a goal in this series. And my goal is to create an honest appraisal of the believer's chance to win in life. I want to take this series and create an honest appraisal of your chance to win in life. And remember, we're talking about prosperity. There are two systems of acquiring, managing, utilizing, and investing money and material resources. So we're going to be talking about how do we acquire material resources? How do we acquire money? We're going to be talking about how we manage money, how we utilize money, how we invest money. I'm not talking about the specifics of those areas, but I'm talking about the system that you're operating in to do those things, the system. And there are two systems according to God's word. And remember, these podcasts are based off biblical principles, and this will be a biblical approach. God spoke to me many years ago, and He said the Word of God is the answer. So according to the Bible, there are two systems to acquire, manage, utilize, invest resources. There's the world system, and then there's God's system. The world system, and then there's God's system. Now, our proof text for the world system, and that's the system that we're going to be focusing on in this series, is Psalm 73, verse 12, in the traditional King James Version. It says, behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Now, notice this text says that the ungodly increase in riches. So maybe you wonder, why I don't understand how people who don't live for God, who have no God consciousness, don't even believe in God, how can they prosper in the world? Well, they are prospering according to the world system. And the Bible says these are the ungodly who prosper in the world or according to the world system, and they will increase in riches. Now, you may say, well, if the ungodly can increase in riches, why do I need to be saved? I can just be ungodly and increase in riches. Well, we're going to see that it's a no-win proposition. It's a no-win system because Satan is the ruler of the world system. Satan is the ruler of the world system. Now, Proverbs 10:22, and we'll look at this in another series. It refers to God's system. It says, the blessing of the Lord brings wealth, and he adds no trouble with it. Now, this is the Hebrew Names version. Proverbs 10:22 says, the blessing of the Lord brings wealth. The blessing of the Lord brings wealth. The blessing of the Lord brings wealth, and he, the Lord, adds no trouble to it. Okay, right away that tells you that both systems will bring wealth, but one system brings trouble with it, and the other system brings no trouble with it. Proverbs 10:22 in the NIV translation says, the blessing of the Lord brings wealth without painful toll for it. The blessing of the Lord. Notice the blessing of the Lord. We're talking about God's system. The blessing of the Lord brings wealth without painful toil with it. Again, we see the contrast. God's system brings wealth, and his system, now notice carefully, his system has no trouble. It has no trouble with it. His system has no painful toil with it. So that tells us right away, before we get into the nuts and bolts of this world system, that God's system is the system that you want to function in. Now, both systems will bring riches and wealth, but one will bring with no trouble, no painful toil, and the other will bring trouble and toil or struggle. Now, a system, we're talking about a system, two systems. A system is an organized or established procedure, method, or way of doing things. Secondly, a system can be learned and produce predictable results. So you can learn both systems, and both systems will produce predictable results. So in this series, No Way to Win, we're specifically dealing with the world system, how the world system is set up for those who operate the system to acquire, manage, utilize, and invest money and material resources. So in this first lesson, I have a subtopic for each lesson. So in this first episode of No Way to Win, our subtopic is the world system. What is it? The world system. What is it? Well, first, the world system is a no-win situation. It is a no-win situation. A no-win situation can also be called a lose-lose situation. And a no-win situation is one where a person has choices, but no choice leads to gain or positive outcomes. So in this no-win situation, you have choices, but no choice will lead to gain or positive outcomes. For example, I give you an example of a no-win situation. If an executioner offers a condemned person the choice of death, an executioner offers a condemned person of a choice of how he or she wants to die. And he says you can die by hanging. You can die by a shooting. We can shoot you. Or you can die by a chemical injection. Now notice the person has a choice, but no choice really has a positive outcome because the death is a result of hanging, shooting, or chemical injection. So this world system that many people, in fact, I wanted to concentrate on the world system because unfortunately, most people in the world operates out of the world system. Most people, including Christians. But it's a no-win situation. Secondly, the world system is run by fools. Yes, I said that. The world system is run by fools. Now, you know I'm going to give you a Bible definition of a fool, but I give you a proof text. Proverbs 1:32 in the traditional King James Version says, "For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them." Now, listen at that. It doesn't say this person doesn't prosper. It says this person is a fool. And it says that the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. The Christian Study Bible, the CSB translation, Psalms 14:1 says, "The fool says in his heart, God does not exist. They are corrupt. Their actions are revolting. There is no one who does good." Now, other translations of Psalms 14:1 says, "The fool says there is no God." The fool says there is no God. So the Bible definition of a fool in this world system is run by fools. The Bible definition of a fool is someone who does not acknowledge God, is a person who does not. Now, listen, I'm not trying to be derogatory. I'm not putting people down. I'm just explaining a Bible definition of what a fool is. A fool is someone, according to the Bible, who does not acknowledge God. They don't acknowledge God as the creator. They don't acknowledge God as the owner. They don't acknowledge God as the one who should be directing their life. They don't consider his leadership. They don't consider his wisdom and is necessary or being necessary in their everyday decision making. They just don't consider God. Anybody who lives this life and does not acknowledge God, does not consider God's leadership, does not consider God's wisdom in their everyday decision making, according to the Bible, is a fool. A fool is one whose life is governed by worldly ways of doing things. And many people fall in that category. They do things the way the world does in every area of their life. And that's why sometimes it looks no different. A Christian looks no different than people in the world. Because for the most part, the way we engage, the way we operate, the way we do things in the world is consistent with the way the unbeliever does things in the world. The world system we're talking about, what is it? The world system leads to injustices and inequities. So if you operate in this system and you say, well, it's just not fair. It's just not fair. You know, life is just not fair. Well, it's not designed to be fair. Satan did not create this world system to be fair. You have to remember now, God gave the earth to man, to Adam. Adam and his wife, he intended for them to rule under his leadership. And the Bible says everything was good. Now, Adam chose to disobey God. When Adam chose to disobey God, he relinquished the control of the earth and handed it over to Satan. We'll see that later. He handed it over to Satan. Satan came in and began to establish his system of doing things, being, operating. And it is a system that leads to injustices and inequities. Let's talk injustice for a moment. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 14 through 16, I'll quote it for you. The scripture says there was a little city, and a king came against this city with a mighty army, surrounded the city. There was no way that this little city could survive the attack of this large army. The scripture says that in this city, there was a poor wise man, and this poor wise man, through his wisdom, delivered the city. He gave them the strategy. He gave them the plan to overcome the city. Now, with that in mind, I want to give you some truths from this text, Ecclesiastes 9, verse 14 through 16. You can go and read it for yourself. It is obvious from the text that the wisdom of the poor man had proven to be greater than military might, because the king that surrounded the city had military might. But this poor man, through his wisdom, gave a strategy, gave a plan to overcome the military might of this great king. Now, listen at this. Verse 15 says, but no one, after the city was delivered, after they overcame this onslaught by this great king, it says no one remembered that same poor wise man. The word remembered, no one remembered the poor wise man. The word remembered conveys the idea of reward. No one rewarded him for his wisdom. The poor man wasn't honored. He wasn't promoted. He wasn't given a place of influence and a position of power. He should have been given that, because it was his wisdom that delivered the city. But the Bible says no one remembered the poor wise man. The 16th verse almost sounds like a contradiction. Verse 15 says no one remembered, or no one rewarded the poor wise man. But verse 16 says, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. The poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. Well, that seemed like a contradiction, because it was the poor man's wisdom that delivered the city. So how could he be despised and not be heard? It is apparent when you just think through the story. This poor wise man didn't have a position of authority. So even though he had the wisdom to deliver the city, others were in a position to bring it to pass. So it is obvious that this poor wise man gave his wisdom to the rulers, the people in positions of power. They took the poor man's wisdom and overcame the attack of this great military army. And yet, not only did they use the poor man's wisdom to defeat the army, they didn't give the poor wise man the credit. They took the credit for it. They took the credit for what the poor wise man had strategized and planned. It was his wisdom that delivered the city, But no one remembered that poor wise man. No one honored him. No one celebrated him. No one promoted him. In fact, when they looked at this same poor wise man, they despised him because they didn't know that the wisdom that overcame the city was not the ruler's idea, not the ruler's strategy. It was the poor wise man. You say, that's not just, that's not fair. I say, you're right, it is not fair, but that's the way the world system is. It leads to injustices. Injustice means a lack of fairness. Injustice means a violation of the rights of others. That poor man had a right to be promoted. He had a right to be celebrated. He had a right to be honored. Yet he was not. Others took the credit. Others took the promotion. Even though it was the poor wise man's knowledge. Why? Because the world system is not just, is not fair. It also, the world system also leads to iniquities. James 2, verse 2-3 says something very powerful. And in this parable, if you want to call it, that James communicates, is very powerful. He said, there came in the assembly. Now he's talking about in the church. There came in the assembly a rich person, and they were clothed very well, and they had on fine jewelry. And when this rich person entered the assembly, they said to the rich man, sit here in this high place. And then there came in a poor man dressed in ragged clothes, didn't smell very well. And the same people in the assembly said to the poor man, you sit down here at the foot right here. Just sit down here. Didn't even offer the poor man a chair. Just sit right here on the floor. And the text says that was partiality. That was a respect of persons. That was prejudicial treatment shown there. Well, you know, the world system, it favors some and it despises others. The world system leads to iniquities. The world system does not favor Christians. If you are a believer and you're going to try to live according to the world system, and most Christians are living according to the world system, then you're going to be at a disadvantage. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walketh about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And notice here, the Bible says that the devil is your adversary, is your enemy. If Satan has set up a system, and it is his system, and you operate his system, then guess what? It's going to be difficult for you as a believer to succeed in that system. Now, some people do, but Satan is working really hard to help to cause you to struggle in his system. The world's system does not favor minorities. Any minority. It can be a black person that's a minority. It can be a Jew that's a minority. It can be whoever it is. It could be a Hispanic person that's a minority. It can be a white person that's a minority in a majority environment. Now listen at this. In any society where people are competing, for resources, position, and power, any society, anywhere in the world where people are competing for resources, position, and power, and a majority group gains control over a sufficient amount of the resources, position, and power, it will be more difficult for those in the minority group to get ahead and rise to the top. That's just the way life is. if everybody's competing for resources and position and power, and a majority group has gained a sufficient amount, a more than sufficient amount of the resources, position, and power, it is going to be very difficult for the minority group to rise to the top. And that doesn't matter what kind of minority you are. The world system does not favor the poor, does not favor Christians, does not favor minorities, does not favor the poor. In fact, I read this years ago. A study came up with this conclusion that rich kids without a college degree are 2.5 times more likely to end up rich than poor kids who do graduate from college. So you take a rich kid that does not graduate from college, take a poor kid that gets a degree. This rich kid, even though he doesn't have a college degree, is 2.5 times more likely to end up rich than the person, the poor person who gets the degree, because the world system does not favor the poor. As I conclude this lesson, we're just talking about what it is. The world system has laws. There are three basic laws. I give them to you right quick. The survival of the fittest, number one. The end justifies the means, number two. And workaholism and sacrifice. These are the laws of the world system that Satan rules, survival of the fittest. In other words, those who know how to play the game and know the rules of the game of the world systems, they're going to be the one who survive, because anything goes in this system. The powerful will end up standing. The powerful. You have to be powerful, and you have to use the tools of the world system. And we're going to see this system involves deception, involves compromise, involves a lot of things. But that's the game. You got to know how the game is played, and the survival of the fittest win. The end justifies the means. Simply means it doesn't matter how you get there. As long as you get it, as long as you get the money, as long as you get the promotion, as long as you get the business success, doesn't matter. The end is what matters. As long as you got the money, as long as you got the promotion, as long as you got the riches, as long as you got the wealth, the end justifies the means. In other words, the way you get there doesn't matter. Long as legal, or you keep it from being known, even if it's illegal. Long as you can hide it real good, the end will justify the means. We see that all the time in politics. We see it in government. We see it in the church, unfortunately. We see it in education. The end justifies the means. Now, and then finally, the world system has this law of workaholism. You have to work a lot. You have to work hard. And you have to make sacrifices. That's why you see people who really successful in the world, and I'm not putting anybody down, but much of the time they had to sacrifice their families. Sometimes they have to sacrifice their health, and most of the time they sacrifice their spiritual health and their spiritual relationship with God. They sacrifice it. You cannot function in the world system and make a bunch of money, be very wealthy, without workaholism and sacrifice. You're going to have to sacrifice something. You're going to have to sacrifice your family. Either your spouse or your kid, you're going to have to sacrifice them, because you got to get these monies. You got to get that money. You got to get that wealth. And you got to sacrifice that family. And in many cases, you got to sacrifice your health. And it's going to break down. The older you get, it begins to break down. And then you're going to have to sacrifice your walk with God, your relationship with God. And that's what people are doing in the world system. They're working all the time. And you cannot work 20 hours a day, 7 days a week, and everything goes well. That marriage is going to go out of the window because you're not going to have time to spend time with your spouse. The children are going to go out because you're not going to have time to spend time with your kids. It is going, listen, sacrifice, workaholism and sacrifice is how the world works. You got to work 2 and 3 jobs. You got to hit it. You got to be on the pavement all the time, going, getting it. Okay. But, and that's why you see a lot of times the highly successful, very wealthy people, usually, that's not a put down, not trying to embarrass anybody, not being derogatory, but multiple marriages, because you can't work like that and have a healthy marriage. So there's multiple marriages. A lot of times that family is just terrible. Big house, mansion, diamonds, money, properties, all that, and it looks like success. Here's what I'll say to you. God said in his word in Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, so that you may observe to do according to what is written therein. Watch this. And then you'll make your way prosperous and you'll have good success. Now, listen at that. You'll have good success. That tells me, Joshua 1:8 tells me that there's bad success and there's good success. Bad success, good success. When you go God's way, you can have good success. You got the success, but it's good, okay? When you go the world's way, it's success. They're on television, they show you the big house, they show you the mansions, they show you all this stuff, but it's bad success. It is bad success. It really is. There's a lot of sacrifice that went in this. Workaholism and sacrifice. You look deeper into this. Give in the deep of it. Don't just look at it and say, ooh, I want that. Ooh, I want that. I want what they, I want their lifestyle. I want their, no, you don't. You just think you do. You don't want to have a lifestyle that God is not involved in it. God is not involved in it. And sometimes people go all their life, but if you stay with me, I'm going to show you that the world system, you may not pay up front, but you're going to pay later, and you don't want it. You just think you want it. You think you want that lifestyle, and you got many Christians want the lifestyle of unbelievers. You don't. You think you do because you're looking at the externals. Well, we're out of time. But listen, this is a full lesson series. You're going to really be able to see what this world system is all about. Listen, I got to go. Thank you for spending this time with me, and I look forward to seeing you next time.